Blog Talk Radio.
Everything is happening.
when everything is happening, you win.
To your pop, to your neighbor, and
everything is happening, you win.
To the Word at Noon, brothers and sisters. I am Lewis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. We're truly happy to have each and every one of you all. So we're going to ask Pastor Bill to go ahead on and get us started with a word of prayer. I just want you to know, and I'll come in on this song in a moment, because a lot of people are going through some things. But they need to know it's their winning season. When I think about the people over there in Kentucky, in Mayfield, Kentucky, and other places, and it seems like it's lost. It's not a curse. It's a blessing. But you got to be able to see it like that. Everything that we think is a curse is not necessarily a curse. It could be a cure. It could be a cure and not a curse. See, because poverty over there, now, it may become a cure now, because no one knew that the people were living like they were living. No toilets in the houses. So the very thing that you thought was a curse had become a cure. I just want you to know it's your winning season.
Amen.
You're winning the battle of depression. There's all kind of battles that's going on right now. There's people that are really depressed and don't even know it, doing everything they can to get out of that depression. I want you to know it's your winning season. Every day you're faced with battles, some small, some big, some this, some that. But know that it's your winning season. They are still battles. And I want you to know you're going to win in spite of whatever the enemy telling you. You're winning. Season. This is your winning. This song inspired me. It really inspired me, and I wanted to share that with somebody to know whatever you're challenging, you being challenged with, know it's your winning season. And you may have to play that song over and over until it gets deep in your spirit and know that it is your winning season. I'm at Pastor Bell if she would give us a word of prayer, and we'll go from there. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Pastor, for that selection. Amen. Amen. And that's what we all have to know. It is our winning season, no matter what it looks like on the outside. It's our winning season. We got to claim it and believe it and receive it. And the scripture I'd like to share is coming from Matthew chapter 21, verse 21 and 22. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also, if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, Father God, we just want to say thank you for your word. We thanking you for the song, Father God, to let us know it is our winning season. So, Father God, we're binding up anything and everything that's not like you right now in the name of Jesus. And we're pleading the blood of Jesus on each and every one of us, Father God. Lord, for we realize we cannot do nothing without you. But with you, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We ask that you will bless those that have called in today, those that are listening by internet, those that are participating today, Father God. Lord, just bless right now in the name of Jesus. And anything that come up against them that is not of Christ, we binding it up right now, Father God. Lord, be with those that have been affected by that tornado, Father God. Lord, we know, Father God, you working things out for their good, Father God. And Lord, we're going to continue to pray for their strength and they're encouraging their hearts to let them know all things is working out for their good. Lord, we ask that you will be with those that are sick and shut in, Father God. You said in your word, by your stripes we are healed. And we ask that you will be with all those who are bereaved and going through. You say you will keep thee in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. So, Lord, as we meditate on your word, as we study your word, help us, Father God, to believe that word and allow that word to be in our heart. Father God, bless our pastor. Continue to use him mightily as he teaches this word. Help us to receive it, Father God. And, Lord, we ask that you will have your way in our life. Holy Spirit, you are welcome to open up our hearts and mind to your word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Bill. I truly appreciate mm-hmm. that prayer. And we miss you on yesterday, but Evangelist Sharon stepped in and she really helped us through it. And I thank God for that, and I thank God for her. And
amen.
Hey, this week, we have a lot to cover, brothers and sisters. The Spirit had gave me a whole lot of stuff, and I'm not sure where we're going to go with some of this stuff. I'm just going to be obedient. I know at some point in time, the attack is not against you. You have to know this, that Satan's warfare is against the church. It's not against
mm-hmm.
you.
Amen.
He killed the church. So the warfare is against the church. So we want to talk about that this week. Even though you're being persecuted on earth, the attack is really against the church. And because you made that claim, that spiritual claim, the beast, I want to call it the beast, have decided that you're going to have to be part of this. So we'll probably talk about the character of the beast, the new powers that he has received, and how he comes against us. We may even talk a little bit about the dragon voice and it being put against you. There's a lot of things the Lord put in my spirit, even the prophecy history of the church. And because you've been called out of the world, you can't be in the world and be part of his kingdom. I know that sounds like, oh, Pastor, how could you say that? But I'm telling you, you've been called out of the world. And what's been happening is being developed. It's been different stages. And when you look at the word development, you see how it actually starts. And when they put the foundation into the ground, and you witness that, and they pour in concrete. I don't care how deep it go or anything like that. When you see that, please do not be blind by that. The building been started with the ideal, with the architect. They'd already designed it. They know what it's supposed to look like. What is you saying, preacher? I'm saying God already know what the plan looked like. It didn't just start when you start seeing it. See, most people see the building, oh, something going up over there. baby, that's been on the drawing board. You just seeing it. You just not seeing it. But it's been on the drawing board. I'm sorry you were not privileged to know that. Now it's become revelation to you. And, and we're going to talk about the book of Revelation because, see, that's what a lot of people, they don't understand, that most of what we're dealing with today is right in the book of Revelation. We may talk a little bit about Babylon, that great city Babylon, and how it fallen. And then the modern day Babylon, you know, her judgment hour. I said something to Pastor Marilyn yesterday. I said, destruction going to come to the church, to the organized church in 1 hour. She said, oh, yeah? I said, yeah, in 1 hour. But when the Bible speak of an hour, I mean in one day, I'm sorry. I said, when the destruction is going to come, because I was talking about Revelation, I think it was 18. But anyway, destruction is going to come to the organized church in one day. But if you don't understand what a day is in the Bible, you might be walking around here thinking a day is going to be like tomorrow. And it's not. A day in the eyes of God is 1,000 years. A thousand years is one day. So in this last 1,000 years, the end is coming. It's coming to an end. So it's not days as we think days. It's a day. 1,000 years is the one day. So when God says destruction is going to come, brothers and sisters, I see it. I see it, man. It's already in the making. So actually, you could say we're in the last hours. You could see nobody know the moment, the hour, the day, but when you understand biblical terms, you'll know that that hour is but a, that day is but 1,000 years. So this past 1,000 years, do your research, see what have taken place. Everything that the book of Revelation prophesied is taking place. It's taking place. How Babylon was going to fall. How that great city and how people were going to cry. Listen, brother, it's a real critical time. That's why it's important that you know that if you're in Christ, you're a winner. He hasn't given up on you. And God said, you got to teach these people about their eternal life. That's what it's about. Part of my job is to get people eternally ready. I'm not trying to get you ready for the day. But there are pledges, and we're going to talk about that great day of the Lord. I know some of y'all already know it's the millennium. Y'all know it's that time because of Revelation 20 and 4. But I want you to know, brothers and sisters, what the Bible has prophesied, it is, we're living it today and don't even know it. And but if you're going to be an overcomer, that's probably what we'll start with today. We're going to deal with two things today, and that's being an overcomer. You got to use the word of God, brothers and sisters. That's what Jesus did over there in Matthew 4, 1 through 11. That's how he overcame him. And we're going to ask some questions about how you actually overcome him. And if you're not going to use the word of God, you're not going to be able to do it. So at some point in time, you got to be committed to the word of God. Now, for that to happen, here's what one must do. You got to cast down reasoning. Ooh, hallelujah. So many people are reasoning. Too many people are reasoning things. You got to cast down the sense knowledge, the reasoning. If you're going to develop in the things of God, you got to stop reasoning with things. The Lord told me the other day, and I'm going to see why he told me that. But I said, don't teach people to believe. I said, Lord, but the word believe, he said, teach them to act on the word of God. My grace is sufficient for them. Tell them to act on the word of God. That's all I want to do. See, that's being obedient to you. You trying to believe for this and believe for that? Stop trying to believe. Start acting on the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to show y'all that in the scripture, too. Because it was deep for me. I had to do a second take. Had to turn off everything and start trying to listen. But let's start with the fact that we got to cast down reasoning, okay? And because the battle of faith is with the sense knowledge. Reasoning, man's world has been a war with God's word, if you'll get what I'm trying to say. See, man's word has been at war with God's word, even since the beginning in the garden. The real struggle mm-hmm. today, brothers and sisters, is that every believer must wage is with the sense knowledge that govern mm-hmm. the human race. But I say, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the desires of the senses or the sense realm. If you walk in the spirit, which is walking in the word of God. I want us to look at Galatians 5, 16 and 18. 16 and 18. Galatians 5. I don't know if Evangelist Sharon, are you able to read? Is she able to read? I don't know. She might be.
Yes, Pastor. Galatians 5. Yes.
Okay, could you read Galatians 5, 16 through 18 for us, please?
You want out of the King James? Or?
Please.
Okay. Galatians 5, 16, 18 reads as follows. This I say, then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Amen.
Amen. And from the Message Bible, my counsel is this. Live freely, emanated and motivated by God's Spirit. Then you won't feed the compulsion of selfishness, for there is a root of sinful self-interest in us that is at odds with the free spirit. Just as the free spirit is incompatible with selfishness, these two ways of life are antithetical, so that you cannot live at times one way and at other times another way, according to how you feel on any given day. Why don't you choose to be led by the Spirit and so escape the erratic compulsions of a law-dominated existence? Amen.
Mm-hmm. Let me make a point or two here before we really get into that part. You know that all the knowledge that the natural man have or the physical man has come through the five senses, seeing, hearing, tasting, smelling, and feeling. You can't contact God like that. His knowledge come to him through these five senses. And we know the result when you think about it. If one was born blind, then the sense of color would have no meaning. If he born totally deaf, music would have no meaning. Don't mean anything to him. So you can play all you want to and shout, but that don't mean anything to a person who's deaf. Think about it. So there's another kind of knowledge with which we are dealing with in this book, in this scripture. It's called the knowledge that comes through our spirit and reaches our intelligence. And I want to be slow and try to explain this, because sometimes I know I get caught up. The faith problem is a spiritual problem. Faith and love both come from the same human spirit. We contact God with our spirit, not with our reasoning facility or faculty or our reasoning ability. No one can find God except through his spirit. No one can know God except through his spirit. This is the reason that since knowledge, man in the scholar world, or man who is a great scientist, or man who rely on everything but biblical principles, they'll never allow God to govern their life because they believe it in the scientific matter and the scientific reason. They want to break down everything so they can touch your reason. I was listening to this meteorologist, this news person on TV, and they was explaining how you had a hurricane in December. And I was laughing. I was cracking up. They thought they figured it out. Well, if you figured out, what can you do about it?
Okay.
Tell me about how the heat came up from the Gulf and the winter coming. And explain to me how California getting 91 inches of snow. Explain it to me. When you get through, thank you. Now tell me, what can you do about it? So let me serve something to you today. God, okay? God. That's all you got to know. All this other foolishness, you must receive God's nature before you can, the spiritual thing become intelligible or become aware to you. Once you have accepted the spiritual things, because it's greater than the natural things, okay? So what he's saying over here in Galatians 5, please listen. Let me really try to explain. Your life is a spiritual one. Remember over there in 2 Corinthians 5:17, where you got born, where it says you're a new creature now? Remember, you're a new creature. So that new creature references a spiritual nature. That directs you directly to that. And that directed you to Christ. So you became of a new species. Your head don't want to accept it. You can't reason it. But it happens, like in John 3. It just happens. You get born again. Not a corruptible seed, but an incorruptible seed. So just like any other baby get born again, you got to develop in the spiritual world, not in the natural world.
Amen.
So you have to follow through with this spiritual birth. You got to follow through with it. Because if you don't and start exercising it, you're going to become retarded. I don't want to say retarded, but there's going to be some stunt in your growth. You're not.
Yeah.
You may develop in the sense knowledge wherein you quote scriptures. You may develop in the sense realm where you know to go find this. But brother and sister, that's contrary. That's contrary. That's what that scripture's saying. That's contrary to the stuff of God, man. It's contrary to what your spiritual nature want. And what your spiritual nature want is contrary to what your corrupt nature wants.
All right.
So don't be trying to mix it. Because they are opposite to each other. You got to know that.
Yeah.
They have different intents. They have different purposes. They want different things. Your spiritual man wants spiritual stuff. And carnal mind, or your carnal, or your sense realm, want more knowledge, more knowledge, more knowledge. See, that's why we know we're at the last days. Man is increasing in knowledge, but they're failing in spirituality. They're failing in that area.
All right.
So if you want your spiritual nature to guide you, you're going to have to let the word of God be first place in your life. That's why this is so important. So he says to us that we may walk about faith. If you think about it now, we got to walk in the spirit, because we'll talk about faith in man ability, faith in yourself, faith in the work of man without oppression. And I got to say this too, because without the opposer, without the oppression, without you knowing that there is something different, then you would never understand the importance of walking by faith, okay? But when we talk about having faith in the Bible, in the Word of God, we often find rebellious sense knowledge comes up against that. Why? Because you'll find that the sense knowledge is faith knowledge. And it's that worst enemy. Your mind is an enemy against God.
Yeah.
It will never give the word first place. Your mind will never do that. It admires the word. Let me be clear. It admires the word, but it's not, does not obey the word. It's often confessed it is as God's word, but obey man's word. That's what we deal with on a day-to-day basis. We're saying the God's word, but we're only obeying man's word. And they'll look over the book. Believe me, brothers and sisters, they'll look over the book of the Bible, and they'll admire, but they won't commit to it. They won't. And let me tell you this, too, because some people will agree with it. Some people will agree with it, but they won't act on it. I said to Pastor Bell on the other day, I said, you are a living Bible, and you need to tell people. And we both agreed. Folks ain't going to believe. If she go tell people she the Bible alive, they going to laugh at her. Yeah, because they won't read it, for we are living epistles. You go tell somebody you're living epistles and watch what kind of remarks you're going to get. Watch what kind of sense knowledge going to automatically kick in with these people.
Amen.
And here's why. And let me say this. In 1 Timothy 6 and 12, 1 Timothy 6 and 12. Let me go back on. You still got your evangelist? Oh, we lost her. Okay. Okay, you back. Evangelist Sharon.
Yes.
1 Timothy 6 and 12.
Okay. In 1 Timothy 6 and 12, in the King James, it reads as follows. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hath professed a good profession before many witnesses. Amen.
Amen. From the Message Bible. Run hard and fast in the faith. Seize the eternal life, the life you were called to, the life you so fervently embrace in the presence of so many witnesses. Amen.
This is a fight to life, brothers and sisters. This is a fight for your life. You're fighting for your life. And it's called the faith fight. Fight the good fight of faith. I said, well, why do you call it the good faith? Because you win. That's why it's good. See, when you're fighting this fight, it's called a good fight of faith. Don't tell them fight is good if you win.
All right. Amen.
But if you're going to lay hand and lay hold on eternal life, you're going to have to fight the Christian fight, the faith fight. And then after you get through fighting this fight, then you take hold on eternal life. Matter of fact, brother and sister, this is what we were called to do. So your profession is going to have to start being what the Word of God say in every situation. That's the era we're living in. That's the time that we're living in. Now, everybody don't believe it, but guess what? Everybody confessing it. Because they know it, that's where the fight is at, man. You got to take the fight to your sense realm. And you do that by beginning to confess what the Word say. Romans 8:16, I'm a child of God. I redeemed from the curse of the law. You got to start confessing that to your spirit, man. Hear that. You got to believe in it. Just act on it. Because if you act on it, it's going to happen. Well, I don't know if I should say that I'm blessed with all spiritual blessing according to Ephesians 1:3. Yeah, you are. Say it. Say it. Say it with your chicken heart and say. Say it. Tell your mind. Tell your mind your spirit running this show, okay? That's what you tell your mind. You telling your mind you're in a fight. And you got to lay hold on your eternal life. And you can't get your eternal life till you get through this fight. And it's more than just a one-rounder. It's not going to be a five-round knockout deal. It ain't going to be one of them. You get knocked down, you're going to get back up. You're going to hit back. You're going to counterpunch. This is a real fight, man.
Amen. Say that, Pastor.
You fighting for your faith. And you're going to find a lot of... And then let me tell you this, too, because you're getting hit from all kind of ways. You're getting hit with all kinds of stuff and don't know it. But I want you to know, brothers and sisters, the reality of your eternal life comes after the referee raise your hand. Then you know, hey, I got eternal life. You've been called to this. You've been called to have a good confession. These are good confession, brothers and sisters, when you tell people, I'm the light of the world. Ain't no different than telling people I'm a living epistle. And see, when that thing hits you, it's when the sense knowledge come in and they start laughing at you. And people start saying, oh, you ain't going to get up from this blow. Your mama was a drunk. Your daddy was a drunk. Your mama was a whore. Yeah, they start throwing physical blows at you. Girl, you've been like this all your life. You might as well go ahead on and you can't be a Christian because you don't look any different than I do. How you going to be a child of God? And you done did this. See, they don't know you're under construction. They don't know you're developing. And they think when you say that, they ought to see the whole picture. They was not in the construction room. They were not in the blueprint room. They were not in there when they were drafting this person. They were there. So therefore, they don't know. But see, that's why you're fighting, man. You're fighting this fight of faith.
Yeah.
And there is the one weapon, and the Bible called it the sword of the Spirit. That combat is to reason, which is governed by the adversary through the system. And you know, Satan is the god of this world, man. Keep telling y'all, that's what we need to understand, a little bit more about the world. Because, see, the advertiser is like the political boss in our great cities. His name is seldom ever mentioned, but he is hidden forces. See, when you think about the political world, He puts up puppets to do his will. That's what Satan does. Satan used same tactics that he's given us a falsehood. The Bible calls it the tricks of the devil. He'll call in scientists. He'll call in scientists, and scientists will be summons to Satan's offer. Hey, prove this to their sense realm. And once you do that, prove it to them. And that's what they, Satan ain't never stopped, man. He always did this. I can take you back through history right now and show you how Satan have always appealed to the sense realm.
All right.
When he think you've been destroyed, he don't know anything about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He says, okay, well, I tell you what, if you don't bow down to our God, we're going to turn it up 7 times. He said, burn the thing up, man. Turn it up 7 times. That heat. And it would burn. The guy that would turn the heat up, when he got close to it, he burned. But they throwed him on in there. Yeah, they throw Shadrach, Meshach on in the furnace. And then the king said, take a look, here's the ashes yet. And they said, no. Them boys still kicking. And it looked like they got somebody else in there with them, a fourth person. He said, well, I told y'all to put three. Did you put three? They said, yeah, we put three, but it looked like somebody else in there with you. Y'all ain't hearing me yet, but I'm telling you. Whatever you're going through, you know that Jesus is in that thing with you. Got him out there.
Amen.
So what signs say knowledge that has been gathered through years of hard study for the sense realm of man, for the sense knowledge, so that he can rule man. That's what science does. So it's through science has come most of our knowledge. They have a church named after science. So it become, and it have allowed us to get, actually it have gained the mental essence over us. It had gained that power over us. And by observing what the scientists say, we have a tendency to think that's right. And the sacrifice of the knowledge, man, they did this and they did this. But sisters, I'm going to tell you, you're only setting a trap for your sin, yourself. Because sense knowledge comes from your five senses. The body is the laboratory that conducts. And if you think about it like that, it's going to always be the place where they're going to go back to, is the body is the laboratory. And it takes the material that have been put forth, and I want to say filter it out and try to justify it and put in a certain classification. That's probably what they do. They classify it. But they have no other means of knowledge. They're limited. So the sense knowledge cannot go beyond things that it has seen. It can't go beyond things it feels. It can't be going beyond things it tastes. Whenever it leaves these avenues, it goes into a realm of speculation or theory, trusting that the theology that they've gotten from this may become a reality in the next step of trying to explain it, but it won't happen. But it's just the only way you get to the next level is by getting into the Word of God and know that you're in a spiritual war. So we're going to kind of pause there. See, faith deals with facts, and the Word of God has no a whole lot of that theological stuff. The Word of God doesn't have that. It have pure spirit. It have God's knowledge, and we have that because we're in Christ. So let me take a minute, and maybe tomorrow we'll just start off at Ephesians 6. And maybe from the 4th verse to the 18th verse, because it's a lot there. Because you're in a spiritual warfare. So we'll deal with Ephesians 6 through 18 on tomorrow. But meanwhile, we always have a few minutes, give a few minutes for anyone like to have any comments. Just press 1. Press 1.
Amen. Well, Pastor, I'd like to read those scriptures from God's Word. The first one, 1 Timothy 6 and 12, and it reads, fight the good fight for the Christian faith. Take hold of everything. Take hold of everlasting life to which you were called and about, which you made a good testimony in front of many witnesses. So that was 1 Timothy 6 and 12. And then from Galatians, okay, 6 and, where my note at? Okay. Galatians 5:16-18. And that reads, it says, let me explain further. Live your life as a spiritual nature directs you. Then you will never follow through on what your corrupt nature wants. What your corrupt nature wants is contrary to what your spiritual nature wants. Your nature wants is contrary to what your corrupt nature wants. They are opposite to each other. As a result, you don't always do what you intend to do. If your spiritual nature is your guide, you are not subject to Moses' law. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Anyone else? While you decide, and if you want to comment or press that button, I want to say this on what Pastor just said. Because we have to know, and we have to be absolutely clear that God have called us to a free life, a life that's not bound by walls, a life that's not bound by this rule and that rule and this law and that law. No, you've been called to represent Christ on planet Earth. That's deep,
Amen.
Man. You're so precious to God. He freed you from all that, okay?
Yeah. Amen.
And he's given you his spirit to live in and to live by. You have a spiritual nature now to guide you, or guide us, that's what I'm saying, to guide us. Why? So we don't become subject to Moses' law. Because people, they're going to always throw that. And see, that law is flesh. That law is predicated on the five senses. Yeah, do your research. That law is predicated on the five senses, Moses' law. Everything about Moses' law is based on the sense realm. It has nothing to do with the spiritual realm.
Amen.
Go look at the law. The laws now. The laws.
Mm-hmm.
You get caught up in that kind of thinking, and you'll be trying to satisfy that corrupt nature.
Yes, yes.
So Moses' law, yeah, it's good, but that ain't why we live. We see, once you get God's nature in you, you want to do the God stuff. And
Amen.
Eventually some of that other stuff drift away because you realize, hey, I don't like it. I don't know if you guys ever had a real craving for something. You just loved it. But then there come a point in time, you know what? I don't even like the way that tastes anymore. But that's what happened. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at one time I had this great craving for peanut butter and jelly. Boy, every time it arrived. But then I ate so many of them things, there come a time where, you know what? This ain't even cool no more. Yeah. Yeah, same thing with smoking cigarettes. I remember one time I thought smoking cigarettes was the coolest thing there was. But then that, when I asked God to take that stuff away, cigarettes especially, I had no desire for it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I'm just trying to show you how you began to get in that spirit world. You began to be led of the spirit because you're not under that flesh. See, as
Thank
long
you,
as you're
Lord.
Being controlled by the flesh, you will not enter into the spiritual realm that I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
This thing
Amen.
Was a full circle. Yesterday, that's what we were talking about, the spiritual realm as well. Okay, anyone else? Anyone else have any comments? Well, if not, thank y'all so much. Pastor, you had anything else you wanted to say?
Oh, no, Pastor. I just wanted to share those two scriptures. Thank you, Pastor.
Oh, thank you so much. And we'll see you all on tomorrow for the Word at Night.